Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hollywood Improv Lab. Make some noise. You guys in the right place for comedy. We got a great lineup tonight. Welcome to Story Smash, a storytelling game show. This is very exciting. Great lineup tonight. Without further ado, put your hands together for the host and creator of Story Smash, Christine Blackburn.
Hey! Welcome to Story Smash, the storytelling game show. My name is Christine Blackburn, and you guys have picked a fantastic night to be here. By a round of applause, who has never been to Story Smash? Where have you been? Well, you picked a great night to show up, and we're going to start this show right away and reveal the Wheel of Stories. There are 12 permanent topics on the wheel. There's an additional space that says free. If the contestant lands on free, then they can choose any topic on the wheel for their story. There's also three additional spaces that say audience. And if the contestant lands on audience, well, then that's when you guys come into play and you can shout out your story topics that you'd like to hear. And then our expert judges will choose one of those topics. And speaking of expert judges, let's get this show started right away and bring up our very first expert judge. All right, coming to the stage is a comedian and an Emmy-nominated writer for Conan. She's also appeared as a comic on Conan, Last Comic Standing, Jimmy Kimmel Live, and Comedy Central. Her first book, Shitty Mom, was a New York Times bestseller. And her new book, Dead People Suck, is available everywhere. And it is fantastic. I read it. I love it. Please welcome to the stage the beautiful and talented Lori Kilmartin. All right. Next talent coming to stage is an actress best known for her reoccurring role of Doris Klumpis on Seinfeld. Now, this woman is so talented, she performs solo shows all over the world, including her recent show, Annie Corzin, Famous Actress. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Annie Corzin! All right, you guys, our final judge. He's been here over a dozen times. He is an Emmy Award television writer and executive producer of ABC's Modern Family. His brand new book, He Started It, I Hold in My Left Hand, and it chronicles his Twitter war with that asshole in the White House, Donald Trump. You guys, please welcome to the stage, Danny Zucker! All right.
That was great.
Like that, excellent. Okay, so this is going to be a blast, you guys. Now, Annie and Lori, you guys have not played this game before.
Correct.
Danny's going to walk you through it.
Stick with me, kids.
Let me break it down for you. We're going to play three rounds of this game tonight. The first round, the contestants are coming up to tell a true one-minute story. The second round, they're going to tell a true two-minute story. And then you guys have the very difficult task of choosing two storytellers to go on to the third round for a three-minute story.
It's usually pretty easy.
Annie, listen, you have done so much storytelling in your life.
Yes.
What do you think would be easier to tell, a one-minute story, a two-minute story, or a three-minute story?
I never tell under 10 minutes.
That's a good thing you're not playing.
My heart goes out to them. That's a tough job.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? Right. So you guys, be kind, because this is not easy at all. So here's the thing. You guys are going to be judging on three things. You're going to judge on the ability to stay on the topic, right?
Yes.
And you're going to also be judging on the story itself.
Uh-huh. And swimsuit.
And swimsuit. That's right. And then also on the time, because you guys, if they go over the time and the clock is right here, you can't see it, but they can see it.
They get extra points?
No, they don't get extra points. They're going to hear this sound.
We went over this.
They're going to hear that glass smashing, something like that. Rick, thank you. And that means, you know, their story's over. And you may have to deduct for that.
Okay.
And if it's like if it's a 2 minute story.
She got all mean all of a sudden.
If it's a 2 minute story and they don't go up to 2 minutes, well, that's not good either.
Do we deduct an article of clothing?
Well, Annie, you know, you can, but this is a family show. When the contestants come to the stage, we're gonna have the audience yell this. Let's practice, shall we?
Spin that wheel.
Oh my God, they're so good at it. Yeah. It's also on the back of your clipboard, so in case they forget, you know, you guys can just shout that out, and then, you know, hopefully they'll remember. Okay, you feeling good?
Okay,
all right, we're going to start right off the bat. Names are going to be called randomly. There's also an audience member who is playing tonight, and we're going to get to that, too. I'm not sure when they're coming up. We'll see. But the first person coming to the stage right now She has appeared on Broadway in Les Miserables and opposite Harvey Fierstein in Fiddler on the Roof. She spent over a decade on New York City stages singing and often dying in the end of each three-hour musical. You've seen this girl on television shows like Veep, Shameless, and Disney's Liv and Maddie. My daughter loves that show. Ladies and gentlemen, bring up to the stage right now a big round of applause for Rena Strober. Rena! All right, you guys, tell her what to do.
Spin that wheel.
Here we go. All right, now that's a good spin. In fact, it's too good of a spin. Spin lighter, will you guys? I'm kidding. Drunk Tank.
I was on the road with Fiddler on the Roof, and Topol had left because he tore his rotator cuffs, yidle-didling too much. So Harvey Fierstein joined the cast, and we were in Toronto for a month. And it was December, and I was doing paint by number, The Last Supper, every night. And it was the holidays, and I was really depressed. I was playing Seidel, and I really fucking hated playing Seidel. I had been on the road for a year, and it was New Year's Eve, and Harvey was going to throw us a New Year's Eve party. So as you know, in Fiddler, Seidel has the whole first act, and she gets married to Muddle, and then act two, she doesn't do shit. So I would normally just sit backstage and fuck with people's phones and just mess with people. So since it was New Year's Eve, I decided to take a bottle of Patron Silver and pour it into my water bottle backstage, because it was Detroit and, oh no, it was Toronto, sorry, we were in Toronto, and it was New Year's Eve, and I didn't do much for act two, so I just started drinking the Patron Silver backstage, and apparently at one point when Seidel was leaving Anatevka, I had a tiara on. Don't really remember that. I was written up for that, and then I told Papa Harvey that you can't stop the beat, and I ended the night sleeping on my bathroom floor.
Wow, Rena Strober. Wow. What a way to start the show. Danny Zucker, what do you think?
It was a little too Jewish, I thought. I found that, no, I found it a little off-putting. But the story itself was amazing. I mean, I was... You were only a couple seconds over, so I personally will not deduct for the 1 minute round. I can't speak for my fellow judges though.
Annie Corzin, what do you say?
I just, you know, Fiddler is like my favorite show. I've seen it a million times. I wish I had seen you in it.
Aww.
I mean,
I'll do the one woman version.
Yeah. So next time you tell it, I'd love to sing a little bit.
Okay. Lori Kilmartin.
I was impressed by how immediately you jumped into a drunk story.
Yeah.
There was not a hesitation. No. You were like, "Do I have one?" You one bubbled up immediately. So you get all my praise for that.
All right, you guys, Rena Strober, let her hear it.
Good job.
All right, we're moving along. You got the clock?
I do.
All right. Coming up to the stage right now for a true 1 minute story is. All right, you guys, this girl is fantastic. She is the author of the best-selling book, Long Story Short, the only storytelling guide you'll ever need. And her next book is called What's Your Story? And it's actually going to be released this year in August. She's a 5-time winner of the Moth Story Slam and the winner of the Moth Grand Slam. Please welcome to the stage our reigning champ, Margot Lightman. Woo! All right, you guys, tell her what to do.
Yeah. Perfect spin.
It's a great spin. Oh, that lucky duck. She landed on free, so she can choose any topic on the wheel.
A couple years ago, like all of us, I went on a low
What's the carb- topic?
Oh, food.
Food.
Restart the clock.
Okay. A couple years, like all of us, I went on a low-carb diet because someone in L.A., acting teacher in L.A., told me I was fat. It's happened to most of us, I think. And I went to a restaurant and I ordered a steak skewer, which is not something I would want, but I figured there was no bread on it. And I ordered it, and I immediately started choking. And I know people use that word, like, I'm choking, and they say it, but if you can say it, it's not a choke. So I was real choking, and this guy came over to me, and he gave me the international sign for choking, which if you don't know is this, and then you're supposed to respond with, yeah, like, but you can't say yeah, you just choke yourself. It's a lot of wasted time, just Heimlich, you know? So he Heimlich'd me once, and I had a mantra in my head, which is, you're not going to die. And then he Heimlich'd me a second time and nothing came up. And I was like, you might die. And then he Heimlich'd me a third time and it came up. And it turned out he was a distant relative of Dr. Heimlich.
Of who? Of who?
Dr. Heimlich. He was a distant relative of Dr. Heimlich. Oh.
Wow. Margot Lightman. That's a hell of a story.
Amazing. Sorry.
Lori Kilmartin, what do you say? Yeah.
Well, that was a great story. And I like the fact that someone asked you what you were talking about. Just FYI, anytime a woman is talking and she doesn't tell you what it's about food, okay? You don't have to ask, okay? It was a great story.
I just loved it. I thought it was funny, and what an ending. Whoa. Good work.
Danny Zucker.
I thought it was a little name-droppy at the end. Did you guys, you know, it's like, I was, oh, yeah, we get it. You know, famous people. But that was an amazing story. I love the O. Henry twist at the end. It was a real gift of the choking magi. Great job.
All right, Margot Lightman, you guys. Margot Lightman. Margot, have you ever choked before?
That is really personal.
Well, me personally?
Have you? I said Margo. I meant to say Lori. I'm so sorry.
On purpose. No.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's scary.
I don't want to talk about this.
Okay. Annie, you want to talk about choking?
Gee, that's the first time anybody's ever asked me that.
So personal.
Actually, my son saved somebody's life in a restaurant in New York.
Is that right?
Yep. Some guy at the next table, and my son knew what to do and went over. And then when the guy recovered, he was so in shock that he just left. And I said, what? He didn't give you anything?
Annie. All right, you guys, coming to the stage for a true one-minute story is... Oh, look at that. It's our audience member, you guys.
Very
our audience
exciting.
Member is coming up right now.
Oh, boy.
Jim Coughlin's going to hand the jar to Danny Zucker. Danny, pull out a name. Let us know who's playing tonight.
Oh, wow. We have an alliterative name here. Wendy Wilkins.
Wendy
Come
Wilkins.
On down.
Yes, I know this girl. Okay, you guys, you've got to be really, really kind because this is not easy, and we are so happy she's here right now. Let's tell her what to do.
Spin that wheel.
All right. Breakup. You might need more than a minute.
This just happened to me. I was dating a guy. It started here, but then he had to move back to Austin. And we were doing it long distance. And, you know, we had bumps and we were working it out. And then he he tells me he's hanging out with this woman that he met at a bondage fetish gathering. And then and I'm like, okay, you guys, what are you doing? He goes, well, we're just having pancakes, and that's code for that they're banging. Mm. So I said, yeah, this is not going to work out anymore. Okay, that's fine. And then he proceeds to tell me that he loves me and that he sees a future with us, but only after he's with her. Now, she's a single mom roller derby woman who also squirts. So I got no competition there. I'm like, have fun. Wash the sheets.
Wendy Wilkins, wow.
Amazing.
Lori Kilmartin.
That needs to be a 30-minute story. But I'm not gay, but I would like to meet a roller derby single mom who squirts. So I don't know whose side to take, but that was a very compelling story. I hope you're okay.
Danny Zucker.
Just a side note. Who is squirting for in pornography? This is a new thing for me where porn is fear factor. And I just like, I just want 2, 3, 4 people who like each other. A nice scenario.
No.
And then, like, in the middle, it's like, because I know my reaction if that ever mm-hmm. happened to me, which would never, if it's based on sexual excitement, will never happen to me. But my, it would be like, ah! That's what I would do. I would be like, not ah.
Well, yeah. The amount of laundry involved is it's just incredible.
Yeah, no, I don't want it. Less. But that's it was a good story, and I did not see the squirting coming.
I don't think anybody ever does. Yeah. Annie Corzin, what'd you think?
I don't know. All I can say is this guy, I do not like him.
Yeah.
I dodged a bullet. I'm actually happy about it now.
Not a fan.
Was he invited to the bondage party? Like, were you guys cool about that long distance?
Yeah, he was experimenting, you know. He had a really long relationship, so he wanted to, like, kind of explore stuff. I was like, go right ahead, do that. You need to figure it out, you know. I was totally supportive, and then... And then I wasn't.
I think you were too cool.
I was. I was way too cool. Yeah.
All right. Wendy Wilkins, you guys. Let her hear it. Wendy Wilkins. Great story for our audience member. Right, Danny?
That's the best audience story I've heard so far.
Yeah. I mean, really.
They mostly suck.
Yeah. So that was a real treat. I'm glad she's going to be coming back for the second round. Yeah. All right, you guys. Coming to the stage right now for a true one-minute story is, let's find his name. Here he is. This guy is a member of the Groundling Sunday Show. That's not nothing. You know what I mean? He does stand-up all over Los Angeles, including the Comedy Store and the Ice House, and now at the Improv. And he recently starred in the award-winning short film Five Stars. Put your hands together for the one and only Matt Dan. Woo! Woo! Tell him what to do, guys.
Spin that wheel.
Yeah. Holly Weird.
All right,
you got
good
this.
To go?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right, let's roll. About 7 years ago when I first moved to the city, my wife and I were just starting to unpack. It was our very first day. And priorities, I didn't have a weed guy. I had one friend, so I had to, like, find a bag. And so I called my buddies, like, yeah, come on over. And so they were all excited. I moved out here, so we started passing bowl after bowl around. But the thing is about Cali Bud, it's like this shit grows on Mars. Like, I was more fucked up than I've been in a long fucking time, maybe ever. So I was like, I gotta get out of here and help my wife. And as soon as I stepped outside, I noticed I'm living in a city that I've never been in before. Got in the car, was over by UCB on Franklin. I live up by the Hollywood sign, short ride. Started driving, wound up in Westwood. Had to get out at an In-N-Out, come down. And I sang at the lights, like I was like, red light means go, so everything's good. Greens go, 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 go.
Matt Dan.
Wow.
That was a great story. Stay right here.
Perfect guns.
All right, Lori Kilmartin.
I'm impressed with your ability to be high and a good husband.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you. Annie Corzin.
You see, this was a while ago. If it were now, you'd have no problem because you could have it delivered.
That's true. That's true.
Annie, you speak from experience?
Annie's got a guy.
You can have two guys if you want. I'm connected now.
All right, Danny Zucker.
I don't know. I think drugs are destroying the fabric of our country. So, no, that's amazing. Just a quick, like, I'm glad I don't like weed that much because I would do it all the time. But I got into a huge fight with the wife a couple years ago because she takes me to her parties and her friends are all boring. And I always leave early and I said, okay, I promise. We got in a fight before. I promise I'm not going to leave early. It's a Christmas party at one of her shitty friends' houses. And so I said, oh, people are smoking weed. I haven't smoked weed in a while. I'll smoke it. I had some. It was... I was like, I can't leave because I promised. And people were coming around and saying, your husband is crying by the pool. So I can relate. The idea that you drove is amazing.
Yeah, yeah, not a good idea, but yeah.
Yeah, don't, you know. Yeah, of course it's not a good idea.
I made it up.
Yeah, you sang your way through it.
I sang it.
All right, you guys, Matt Dan, let him hear it.
Amazing.
By the way, just for fun, I would like to tell you that Matt spells his name M-A-T and then D-A-N-N.
I know.
So that's, I don't know.
One T, two N's.
I think it was his mother did that.
Yeah. I didn't choose it.
He didn't choose it, see?
All right, you guys. You can't change it either.
No, I don't think you can. All right, you guys. Coming up right now for our final storyteller in the first round of the show. This guy is a comedian and a commercial actor, so maybe you've seen him on television. He performs locally as lover, loser, legend, and lounge act, Velvet Tom. All right, I gotta see that. I gotta see that. You guys, put your hands together for Tom Farnan. Woo! Tell him what to do. Drunk Tank.
Okay, so 1997, Chicago, Lincoln Park. Me and my best friend, fucking Paul. Why is he fucking Paul? Because he used to leave messages on my answering machine like, beep, P, it's T. We got to fucking go out and get some fucking beers tonight and hit up some fucking ladies. Fucking call me back, fucking beep. So we go to a place called Gamekeepers, and we drink a lot of beers. And then we go home, and then we go across the street to Red Hot Mamas and get depression food, chicken burritos. And we're in line, and he starts a fight with somebody in line. This guy says, man, I wish the line could move faster because I'm going to get laid. And to this perfect stranger, he goes, you're not going to get laid. There ain't no way you're getting laid. No one's fucking you tonight, sir. To the point where they got pulled out of the restaurant. He was pulled out of the restaurant. It's a taco burrito place. And then we stepped right up front and ordered and then went home and...
Yes?
Ate sadly.
Tom Farnan. Lori Kilmartin.
What an eventful story. That appreciate it. I like that you said it in 1997. And in case you thought we didn't get it, you then invoked a voicemail, an answering machine, complete with beeps. So thank you for the added historical context.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Annie Corzin.
I couldn't concentrate on the story because I'm so taken with your outfit. I love
hello.
I love the combination of glasses and a cardigan. That really speaks to me.
All right, Annie. Wow.
That really
get a room, you two.
Whoa.
You
know,
your husband's here, isn't he?
Huh?
Your husband's here, isn't he?
Yeah, well, I mean.
He's with the roller derby girl, no worries. She's free.
So I'm giving you a check for outfit.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you,
Danny Zucker.
That took me on a journey. I'm with you on the atmosphere. Like, I was there. It was like, you know when you watch a Mad Men and it's like all the details? That's how I felt with your story. I love fucking Tom. That detail is an amazing detail. I was entertained. I wanted to hear more about that journey. So you left me wanting more. Good job.
Thank you
That's
very
excellent.
Much.
All right, Tom Farnan, let him hear it. Okay, you guys, we are off to the races. What a great first round. Yeah, Lori?
Yes.
Okay, so now we're going to double the pleasure. It's a two-minute story. Ooh. And so, you know, we're all the names are back in here in the jar, and we're moving on. Did you want to move your sheet? You all right? You guys want to change?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
All right, it's exciting.
Flipping to the old sheet, huh?
Yeah. Flipping to the old sheet.
It's really cool. It's really
all right,
exciting.
You guys, come on the stage right now for a true two-minute story is the one and only Rena Strober.
Woo!
She was first up in the other round. All right. All right, you guys, come on. Let her hear it. Bigger. Yay! Tell her what to do. I love your outfit, by the way. You look fantastic.
I swear to God, if this is about your time at a yeshiva, I'm walking off the stage.
School days.
Oh my God.
So at Hebrew school? No.
You can.
I was class president 3 years in high school because Woo! I gave really great speeches and I was really good at getting things because I'm the youngest of three and I have two older brothers. So as class president, I tried to get away with as much as I could. So my junior year, I was thinking, I'm so bored getting away with like stealing the money from the class and to buy alcohol for the parties. And I was like, what else can I do? So I found a senior who, and this was the 90s, so acid was really popular.
And so I found a senior who was selling, and I'd never seen it, but it was this piece of paper, and it had little flags on it, and I was like, those are so pretty. What are those little flags? And he said, well, I'll show you, and he took the little piece of paper, and he put it on my tongue, and I guess I'm 15 or 16 at the time, and I started to walk around school thinking everyone was crying. And so I started crying. I cried in chorus. I cried in math. I cried in Spanish class. But after that day, my boyfriend broke up with me because he was mad I did drugs. It was DARE. DARE was really popular. But because I was class president, I thought I could probably make money selling this stuff. So I got together with this senior, and I paid $25 for a sheet of these little pieces of paper, and I sold them to the freshmen for $5 a tab. And I made some money, because I'm a Jewish entrepreneur, and I didn't get as much for my bat mitzvah that I wanted, so I had to look to other means. I only sold that one sheet, because then I thought, okay, DARE, you're set up right outside the school, and you got me. I won't dare to use drugs responsibly. And that's my story of my school days.
Wow, yay! Rena Strober, another amazing story. Just a great story. Lori, what'd you think?
I went to Catholic schools, and I feel gypped.
Yeah.
And I'm just impressed that there's a corrupt female president that gives me hope for a possible Democratic takeover.
Lori, have you ever dropped acid?
No, I haven't. No,
yeah,
no,
I haven't. Annie, no. Have you?
What?
Have you ever done acid?
Not acid, no.
Let's say Benny's not here. Have you?
No.
Okay. Danny, have you done acid?
I've done everything. I didn't do acid. I did mushrooms and all that. And
pussy.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah. I would. Wait, I just have a question. Yeah. You said it was the 90s and people were doing... That can't be... The 90s, everybody was doing acid?
It was the thing. It was like ecstasy was college, but acid was really popular.
Where?
In New York? It was New York. Yeah. Goshen High. It was near the Catskills. It was slow motion Goshen was what they called it. So there's nothing to do in this town but do drugs.
I was just... Yeah, no, I can't believe... I was just so coked up. I missed it. Yeah, I was very successful.
Annie Corzin, what did you think of the story?
The thing that I loved about the story is the difference between what you were talking about and how you seem as a person.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, she comes up, she looks so innocent, so radiant, so lovely. And then I was in high school. I didn't get enough money for my bar mitzvah, so I started selling drugs. I mean, it's like not what you would have expected.
No,
right?
I know. It's like Rainbow Sparkle talking about the orgy she was just at. You know?
I squirt rainbows.
I mean, you're looking at evil here. This is the picture of evil.
Wow.
Right?
I don't do drugs anymore. No, okay.
But do you sell them?
Are you holding is what we're asking.
Rena Strober, let her hear it.
Good job.
What a great story. Love that, right? Amazing. And completely unsuspecting. I had no idea that she was that kind of girl.
This is going to be hard.
Yeah, I'm telling you, all the stories are really good. Coming up to the stage right now for a true two-minute story is the one and only Matt Dan. Matt Dan. Woo! Tell him what to do, guys.
That wheel. I like your outfit, by the way. I feel like you leaned into the brawny paper towel guy.
Is your jacket missing its shirt?
No, I know. That would be what my gay friends say is matchy matchy.
Birthdays.
I was never a cool kid growing up. I was always like the fat kid nobody wanted to hang out with. Aww. And it turned around. I'm the fat kid people want to hang out with now. So. But I remember this new kid moved to, I grew up in a small town in New Hampshire, and this new kid from the city moved in, and he just liked me. And he had a birthday party with all the cool kids. And there was like a pizza party, scary movie sleepover, and I wasn't a big fan of scary movies, but I was like, I'm not gonna fuck this up. I get to hang out with the cool kids. And so I went, and his name was Vinny Pursuti. Kid fucking threw a fastball on the little league team, like, phew. And then, so I went, and I overate all this pizza. I had a great time, and then I went into his bedroom, and there was a Freddy Krueger poster on the wall. And all of a sudden, I started getting the sweats and the shakes, and the pizza backflipped. And I had to throw up. I just had to puke. And so I tried to go into the bathroom, but there were kids hanging out with like pornos in there. And then I tried to puke outside, but they had locks on their doors, and we didn't lock our doors. We lived in the fucking country. So I'm like panicking, and I'm like, where are your parents? He's like, they're downstairs, but they hang out naked. It's like, I don't know why they're hanging out naked with a house full of kids anyways. But, like, I panicked and opened the fucking door, and, like, his dad walked across the bottom of the steps like that photo everybody's seen of Bigfoot, and he was completely naked, and that was it. And so, like, I ran over the door, and I'm trying to figure out the locks, and I just started booting, and their TV was right by the door, and I puked up the door jamb and down the wall and behind the TV, and back in the 80s, TVs and they had a VCR, so there were 8,000 cords back there. I had to go home. The following year, they invited me back. Groundhog Day, the whole fucking thing happened a consecutive year in a row. Never allowed over there again.
Happy birthday, Matt Dan. Wow. Great story.
That's amazing.
That's amazing, Danny. What do you say?
That was beautiful. Yeah. Every piece of that story was gorgeous. I loved it. I want to be snarky. I want to say something mean. I was on that ride. Holy shit. I'm an easy puker. Ask anyone. And and I really relate to, like, I'm the Bellagio fountains. I was probably younger than that, but I remember I was at a friend's house and I was taking a shit, and my friend's mom accidentally walked in on me, and I'm like 7, and I don't know what to do, so I run out with the toilet with the shit hanging out of my So I get this. I do.
God, that's graphic. Lori Kilmartin.
Oh, this provides some backstory, I feel like, to your first story, which is about getting high. And now that I know what kind of anxiety you had as a teen, and just a poster would cause you to throw up, I'm glad you found pot.
I am too.
It's a better drug. Annie Corzin.
I respect a good vomit story as much as the next person.
Thank you.
It's on your IMDb
page.
But
I think it seems to be...
It's on your IMDb page.
It's under her special skills.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of a part of growing up, right? Everybody's got that story. My son was a teenager and came home one night from a high school party. And I said, what are those clothes that you're wearing? That's not what you... Those aren't your clothes. And, well, I had a little accident at the party. And in other words, his friends had redressed him at the party so he could, because he had puked all over himself.
He's got good
so
friends.
It's a coming-of-age story. Universal.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Matt Dan, let him hear it. Wow. All these stories are good, aren't they? I mean, these guys are really rocking it. You guys are going to have a hard time choosing who goes on to the third round.
They've led interesting lives.
Yeah. Very much so, yeah. Right? Yeah, very much so. Okay, there's a couple more names in the jar, and the next person coming to the stage for a true two-minute story is... Oh, look at that. It's our audience member, Wendy Wilkins. Woo! Okay, you guys, tell her what to do.
Spin that wheel.
There it is, guys.
Oh, first one of the night.
There it is, guys. She has landed on audience, and that means you guys are going to have the opportunity now to throw out some of the story topics that you might want to hear. What kind of stories do you guys want to hear? Getting arrested, murder, nipples. What? Sex?
Hospital.
Rummy?
Roommates.
Parents. What do you guys think?
I think that the person who suggested nipples needs to stand up and ask what possible story could nipples be about. I'm very concerned. No, I'm busy. What do you guys like? What do you want to hear of that group?
Nipples are murder for you. I actually was kind of interested in a nipple story, if you had one. But, and I thought of all the people we've heard from tonight, you would be the one that would have one.
Danny, what do you say?
I mean, do you have an... I want... She's an audience member. I'm going to give her... Yeah.
We got to give her a little bit of a...
I'm going to give her a little leeway.
That's kind of tough. That's tough, man. That's tough. Unless she takes off her shirt, it could be...
Let's go with that, because you can work nipples into a naked story. Go.
Yes, yes.
Okay, naked story. Oh, look at that. That
I
happened
apologize.
Quickly. Okay, yeah. Naked.
She had a nipple story.
Okay. It also involves hospitals, so we'll go with that. When I was 25, I was diagnosed with a tumor in my right ovary the size of a chicken. And they were like, we got to take it out. And so I go into the hospital, and it's the one time my dad hadn't, I lived out here for like 5 years, and my dad hadn't visited me. And finally, he was like, well, she might die, so I might as well go visit her. So I'm in the hospital, and they literally, you're just in a nightgown, so you're constantly, and it's a teaching hospital, USC Medical, because I didn't have insurance. So they would constantly come in to look at it with like 10 different people, 10 different med students. So, and it was right here. So normally it was just like gown up, and there I am, spread eagle, everything. And like nipples are out, general nakedness is out. Thankfully, I grew up in a family where we weren't shamed for sex or our body. So I was like, have a good look. Enjoy it. But the problem is when you have something like that, they only shave part of you. They only shave the area that they need to. So, and the tumor is right here. So they really just shaved like half of this here. And I wasn't into personal grooming at that. I hadn't gotten there yet in my evolution. So it was real bushy there. So it was very weird. So so every time I went to the bathroom, whenever I sat down on the toilet... Oh, here's another thing about the hospital. There's a mirror across from the toilet. I don't know why. Full-length mirror across from the toilet. So every time I sat down on the toilet, it looked like I was looking at a 30-year-old Amish guy. Every single time, staring back at me, I was like... So, and then it was a whole weird thing because they take your medical history, and my dad was right there, and they ask you all these questions, and one is, have you ever had an abortion? And I was like, no, and you could see my dad just go, oh, thank God, you know, and yeah, there it is.
Wendy Wilkins, a great story for right off the cuff, yeah?
Yeah, I mean... So I've always said, you know, as a comedy writer, I've been doing it for, you know, 30 years, whatever, very successful. But I always, you can't believe how successful. The, so many Emmys and a Golden Globe. The thing is, I got lost in all my accolades. The key when I go teach comedy is, for a good comedy story, is you want to put in tumors and a dad who doesn't love you. And you hit those balls.
She made it work.
And you made me miss pubes. So there, it was all, it was the whole thing. No, I did. I miss kissing ZZ Top. Anyway, thank you. Very
Lori Kilmartin.
Well, I've had tumors before, and usually they use a fruit, like a round fruit, to describe the size.
Yeah.
And what I'm curious, like, I know there's chickens in the grocery store around because they're shaped. Was yours like a grocery store chicken or a live chicken?
Like a rubber chicken.
Yeah, with a head and feet.
It was like a plucked chicken, cold chicken that you would buy to roast, and it actually had two side bulbouses that looked like wings. So yes, it was that big.
Oh, it was actually chicken shaped.
It was chicken shaped.
Wow.
And I've had a cyst that was a grapefruit,
yeah,
and
grapefruit.
A fibroid that was the size of a softball. So yes. A lot of things grow in here other than babies.
Wow.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Annie Corzin, your mouth is just hanging open.
First of all, I got to say, I'm really impressed with how you just came up and jumped into that and were
Thank
honest
you.
And vulnerable. What a miserable father. Look, give me his number. Give me his number. But I think you should have asked to keep it. I don't understand why they get to keep that.
Because they dissect
something
it.
From you.
I donated it to
You should
it to
get
science.
It back. It's oh, yours.
I did. I donated it to science because it was a breath away from cancer. They got it like within days
oh,
before
you.
It was supposed to turn to cancer.
Oh, my God. Oh.
I am, wow. Yeah.
Wow. I am How sick. Shitty are we going to feel when we don't put her in the finals?
Oh, she beat cancer. She's fine.
She's fine.
That is the highest form of recycling. I'm serious. You know?
Do you ever wish you had said that you had an abortion just because you didn't like your dad? Just
no,
to shock
no.
him.
Okay. No, but I do have pictures. I made them take pictures of it. So I do have pictures of the tumor if anybody wants to see them. Just come see me.
Are they on your iPhone? Could I?
Not on my iPhone, but they're on my Facebook page.
But I think that this...
The tumor has an Instagram account, 50,000 followers.
This story is really a good learning experience for those of you out there who have inattentive parents. Just call them and say, I have a chicken-shaped tumor. Yeah. Do you think maybe you could come and visit me?
Very good.
Wendy Wilkins, let her hear it. Wow, what a great story. Just amazing, you guys. Amazing. All right, you guys, two more storytellers coming up for the true two-minute story. And before we move forward, I did want to give a big shout-out to my buddy right here, Jim Coughlin, helping me out. Every single month, this guy helps me out. And Rick in the back on sound. You're my favorite sound guy. You know that. Matt at the bar. Thank you, Matt, for all your hard work tonight.
Thank you for that.
We appreciate it. Coming to the stage right now for a true two-minute story is the one and only Tom Farnan. Tom! Let him hear it, guys. Tell him what to do.
Spin that wheel.
Spin the wheel. Oh, look
boy.
At that. Our second audience tonight.
Nipples.
This is exciting now. Nipples. No. All right, you guys, what kind of stories would you like to hear? After school antics, funerals,
grocery shopping.
What was that over there?
Bands.
Cardigans.
First time he got laid.
Virginity. What did you say?
Marching band.
Skinny dipping. First kiss. A lot of choices. What do you think?
I personally like funerals because that's my idea of a good time.
Funerals. What do you say?
You know, I'll let the new kid. You know, have this one.
Yeah. Oh. All right, you guys, funerals. Let's hear it, Tom. True two-minute story.
Well, let's talk about the most recent funeral I've had is my father's funeral, which was 5 years ago, okay? And there's something that I do, like, every day. I think about my dad every day in some way, whether it's cooking stuff in a crock pot or gardening or something like that. I really hold my dad very, very close. Now I went to Catholic school. And I went to church, and church was a big deal, St. Patrick's Catholic School back in Kansas City, Missouri. So it was always a really big deal that we go, and, you know, I honor my parents as much as possible, and my dad created this whole thing called Irish Fest. But he had a funeral. He had a funeral where I gave the eulogy, but I was also able to sing his favorite song, Danny Boy. Now... Oh, Danny Boy. We'll finish out another minute with a verse of Danny Boy. We will. Well, that was the thing, is that the priest was being a hard ass, and he was like, you get one verse of Danny Boy, and I was like, fuck you, I'm singing two. I know both of them. And I will sleep in peace until you come to me.
Woo! Yeah.
And... And then I sang the third verse. For when we all die and we're all back in this box. Thanks for the echo. Really appreciate it. I felt like I was on America's Got Talent there for a second. But it ended up being I got to sing an extra verse for my old man and his funeral. So.
Awesome.
Here's to you, Tom Farnan.
Yeah. Tom Farnan.
That's all I got.
Tom Farnan. Now, he went to a minute 43.
Oh, well, we have to deduct that. But, I mean, even though it was about your dead dad, I can say that having a dead father. I have a question about this story.
Yeah.
You are a very funny guy, and it seems like you had a dad who loved you. How did you accomplish that?
Because I had a hard-ass mother. So
oh, that's what it did. Okay, good. My dad literally shook hands with me goodnight. I wish that was a story.
Oh, my God.
No, it's really true. It's like, goodnight, Ace, and then back to bed. Yeah, so that's why I'm funny. But that's amazing. I think anybody with a dad who they love, it's like, to me, that's Herculean. Yeah. I just had such an advantage with my asshole dad. So, congratulations.
Wait, Danny, you're a father now. You've got three kids.
Yeah, and they're not funny at all, and that's why I know
that you are
my kids. My kids are desperately not funny.
Yeah.
It's a relief.
Desperately.
Well, it would be
boring.
Hard to compete with you.
No, I mean, I would love. They can't. Well, yeah, it would be hard to compete with me. It's true.
All right, Lori Kilmartin, you've got something to say here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love that story. My dad's funeral got bumped because somebody younger died, and they're like, "That she's going to have a lot more visitors."
No. And
so, yes. Yes, so they bumped my dad to Monday, and almost no one came because they had bought plane tickets for Sunday. Yeah. So.
And that's in your book, Dead People Suck.
Yes, it is. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm and getting this book. Wow.
I also, for a second, when you said your dad died and it was a crock pot, I was like, oh my God, it's his dad, Jack Pearson from This Is Us. So thank you for correcting that. This is Us.
Oh, there's so many.
I know that. It's not Modern Family. It's a TV show.
I got it. All right, Annie Corson, what'd you say?
I love this story.
Thank you.
First of all, I love the opening that your father's still with you. That was very touching. We haven't had a lot of touching tonight. And I'm old enough to like things that are a little soulful. But I also think that I love the idea that you use your father's funeral as an opportunity to perform. And that's what funerals should be. And L.A., if you go to showbiz funerals in L.A., they are the best show in town.
Yeah.
If you've ever been to an L.A. funeral, the speeches, the actors, the producers, the stories that they tell, I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. It's better than Broadway. Just go. Just sneak in. Just say, oh, yes, I knew him very well.
Oh, it's going to be great.
It's an extra set, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and a lot of people that are attending the funeral, especially if they're going to a comics funeral, then they will retell their jokes. You know, the dead person's jokes, and they get the laugh.
And pretend it's the first time they've done it. I didn't do your act on a cruise ship. Let me see if I can remember this.
No,
Tom Farnan, you guys,
thank
let
you
him hear
much.
It. And Annie, you like his sweater. I know that. His sweater. You were into that, yeah?
Yes, I'm into that cardigan. The cardigan and the glasses. It's a nice look.
All right.
Wow. Speaking of touching.
All right, you guys, this is the final contestant coming up for a true 2-minute story, and then you guys got a big job ahead of you. So, you guys, put your hands together for the very talented Margot Lightman. Margot! All right, you guys, tell her what to do.
Spin that wheel.
Oh! Holidays. Oh.
So a couple of years ago, my beloved Uncle Steve died, and he died over Passover. And the rule in the Jewish tradition is if you die over Passover, you don't get to sit Shiva. You don't sit Shiva for the person. It's like you are not allowed to grieve in that way, which to me, I love a good Shiva. It's like you're just cover the mirrors. You sit there for 7 days, and everyone's bringing you food, and you're just sad. And you get to be like really sad, and that's like my fantasy. Like I really can't wait for it for myself, for my own death. And so we didn't get to do that for my Uncle Steve, and it was like this very upsetting thing for all of us because we didn't feel like we could really grieve, and Jews really love to grieve. And my father at the funeral gave a very unique eulogy where he just basically shat on Judaism the entire time to my uncle's incredibly conservative temple. And he was like, you know, my brother was a very very religious man. Not for me, don't really understand why, but, you know, and like that was like the whole eulogy was just that. It was just like consistently being like, why is he into this? So anyway, so I take the plane home. And I just took a plane home that night. I was like, there's no Shiva, there's no food, not a lot of food at this. So I went back to LA immediately to get home to my family. And it was like, I felt like I still needed to have this release of this sadness and this grief that I wasn't getting by binge eating for 7 days and covering mirrors. And so I came home and then I did some math. And I realized that to the day, to the night, that night after my Uncle Steve's funeral is the moment that my son was conceived, that night. Aww. Like, I came home, and I was like, well, I guess I'm going to fuck it out, you know? And then my son was born, yes.
Wow. Wow, Margot Lightman, stay right here. Wow, what a great story. Annie Corzin.
Holidays.
Did you name this fuck child after your
No.
Why
because
not?
Annie
supposed...
said fuck child.
I'll tell you why.
Hold on. Fuck child.
Aren't we all a fuck child?
I'm offended.
I think we
it
have
just
something
came
there.
To me.
Yeah.
It just came to
We're
me.
All a fuck child. Everyone is a everybody is a fuck child.
We're all true. Sacred children.
How's your fuck child?
Except for Jesus.
So right. Except for Jesus, yeah, whatever.
But let's face it, he was a fuck child.
Because you name with the first letter of the most recently deceased and the S, and I couldn't find an S I liked. And so then I did something horrible, which is that I named in the middle name of my living father, which I've heard is sending someone
you
right to the grave, and it's not good, but I did it.
Wow.
Sorry.
Whoa.
Well, my father's alive and well, and my son has his middle name, which I don't know. Him as a middle name.
I thought it was a great story.
Well, thank you.
I really do.
Danny Zucker.
I just mostly want to apologize to Rena for saying her story was too Jewish. Rena, will you forgive me? I was wrong. That was an amazing story, honestly. You wrote the book. You know it's good. You're like a pro. It's great.
Oh, thanks.
Lori Kilmartin.
I want someone in my life to die so I can sit Shifa. That sounds
Oh, it's so great.
Delightful.
I want to do
I just want to cover mirrors.
And
not leave my house for a week.
And people are bringing you food.
Oh, my God.
Fattening food for 7 days.
Yes. My mom's 81, so.
Fingers crossed. My mom's 81. I'm waiting.
Lori.
I hope it happens for you. I really do.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, you guys. Margot Lightman, Let Parrot. Oh, my gosh. This is going to be very difficult, I have to say. I'm going to give Danny Zucker the 5 names of our contestants, and you guys are going to somehow come up with 2 of these names to go on to the 3rd round. We're going to put 1 minute on the clock. You have 1 minute to do this. And in the meantime, I would like to tell you guys a few things. First of all, Story Smash, you know, this is like our 19th show in a row right here at the Hollywood Improv. Yeah, I know, right? And our next show is going to be Friday, February 22nd, again at 8 o'clock. The tickets are available now. And I would also like to bring up to you that I have a show. Can you believe it? I have a show coming up at the White Fire Solo Festival over in Sherman Oaks. And it is Saturday, February 16th. And it's called Surviving the Ride. And I take you through my journey as a flight attendant and my journey going to the Peace Corps and coming back from the Peace Corps and coming to Los Angeles. And so please head over to ChristineBlackmore.com. You'll find out more information about Surviving the Ride on February 16th at 8 o'clock. I also wanted to mention that this particular show right now, what you're hearing, is also going to be on the Story Worthy podcast in about 3 weeks or so. So look out for that. You can follow me over there on all the socials at Story Worthy. And for some reason, it's very important that you subscribe to Story Worthy. Don't you cut me off. Subscribe to Story Worthy on Apple Podcasts. This is very important. I'm not sure why, but do that, would you? One more time, a big round of applause for Rick on the sound in the back. And Matt at the bar, tip him well. Jim Coughlin, my good buddy right here. And I also wanted to tell you guys that the winner of the show tonight, I don't know if I told you this, but the winner of the show tonight gets my homemade chocolate chip cookies. You see, exactly, that's what I'm talking about.
Those cookies are for real, too.
Thank you, Danny. And all the contestants get some cookies as well. You guys all get everybody gets cookies. I mean, I'm a giver. You know that, Danny.
Yes, I do. This body doesn't just happen.
Okay. So listen, was this a hard decision or what?
It was incredible. I mean, I these would not have been my first 2 choices. So I just want to make that clear. You were a little pushy.
It was tough.
No, we just said, she kept saying like, oh, I guess you 2 were on Seinfeld. And then...
All right, well, you know, really, these 2 people are both winners because they're going to get 3 more minutes of stage time.
It's amazing. Yeah. We're all winners for that.
They're all winners for that matter. So, again, here we're...
This is the hardest one we've had to do.
It really is. This is going to be tough. We're going to go right now, though, and the first storyteller coming to the stage for a true 3-minute story is Margot Lightman. Margot!
Woo!
Here she comes. All right, you got to tell her what to do.
Spin that wheel.
Here she goes.
You won last time, right? You won last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you had to overcome a lot.
What?
And you had to overcome a lot because there's a lot of like, ugh, you know, she won again. You know, like, you
but the first time I did this show, it was a disaster.
I missed that.
You weren't there.
Yeah, yeah,
that
that's
was at
why.
The Festival of Books downtown.
Yes, yeah, so I was on a lot. I had just been diagnosed with a very severe ear infection. I was on 3 medications and came in and was like, hey, guys, spin that way. I didn't know what the hell was happening.
Yeah.
It didn't go well at all.
It's not quite a chicken shaped tumor. I'm just going to say, if you're looking for sympathy.
It really isn't. But I was like on drugs the whole time. I had no idea what was happening.
Okay, well, now we're really going to throw a fastball at her because this is an audience, another audience
very
suggestion.
Very rare for the final round.
Very is rare it? For the final okay. round. So, again, let's hear some topics out there, guys. What do you want to hear?
Fashion.
Cars.
Childbirth.
Secret love. Childbirth.
Dancing.
Halloween experience. Halloween experiences. Dances. Monsters. Concerts.
Lovers.
I hate that word.
Do you hate that word?
It is creepy.
Oh. I hate the word panties.
No, I hate lovers.
I like panties.
Says,
I hate...
You like panties?
It's like moist.
Oh, I don't like moist.
You know what I hate more than all is horny. I hate horny so much.
Yeah. I'm a little horny.
I hate it.
Okay. Now, wait a minute. So what do you think? What do you want to hear, guys?
What did you want? Oh,
I already forgot where they.
I want to hear childbirth.
Childbirth. Yes. Childbirth. All right, here she goes. 3 minutes. Childbirth.
Oh.
Yeah.
God.
Oh, you lost her.
God, I don't even know where to begin.
Hold on. There, we're just getting Annie's glasses.
That's good. I'm just.
She's super drunk.
Okay. I've had 2 children. I was deciding which disgusting, horrible story should I tell you, and I've decided with my first child. Okay, so I had a baby 6 years ago with my first child, and they told me he would be maximum 7 pounds, and I was like, great, that sounds like about the size I was. And so I just let it go. Many days after I was due, I was just like, max 7 pounds, whatever, tiny baby. And then it was like a long time after he was due, and there was a baby still in there, and they were like, you have to get the baby out. So they went and induced me into labor on Weird Al's birthday, which is he shares a birthday with, which is great, and Nancy Grace. And
And so, Nancy Grace.
Name dropper.
Yeah, name dropping. And I it turned out he was 9 pounds, 10 ounces. And no one told me that. So in my head, during the labor, I was like, 7 pounds max, 7 pounds. Like, I was a champion. And I was like, how much mind over matter was. And then he was born, and we didn't know if we were having a boy or a girl. And my husband had one job in the labor, which is just to say it's a boy, it's a girl. And so I go... What is it? What is it? And he goes, I don't know. And I was like, what do you mean you don't know? And he goes, it looks like a 3-year-old. That's what he said. And so then, like, hours later, I pee, and when you pee, it's not supposed to have a loud thump into the toilet, but it did. A loud thump went in out of my vagina.
Wow.
And I was like, what the hell is that? And I look, and it looked like a human brain had flown out of my vagina hours after already having a baby. And I looked down, and I was like, this is alarming. And then I was like... Maybe it's the dead twin, you know, like you hear the stories, and I was like, it's the dead twin, it's definitely the dead twin. So I call the nurse, and I was like, there's this thing in the toilet, you might want to take a look, and she looks at it, and I go, what do you think it is? And she answers, I don't know. And so then she took it, she goes, we're going to have to send it to a lab, and I was like, gosh. So they sent it to a lab and came back. And my doctor, like, personally delivered the news. He's like, I'm really sorry. Like, it was a giant baby when you gave birth, it was a giant, very large baby with a very large placenta. And I, in every way, thought that it had all come out of you. But apparently half of the placenta was still just, like, living inside of you. And I pissed out half a placenta, which was looked like a human brain, hours after birth, and it was just a vile experience. And I had a scheduled C-section for my second child, and I think we could all understand why, and he was 9 pounds, 7 ounces.
Wow, Margot Lightman. God. That's a great story. Lori Kilmartin, you've given childbirth. What do you say?
I want to sit Shiva for the placenta that came out of your body. Oh, my God. That's horrifying.
It's disgusting. It was a thump that I, the sound of the thump, like, I can never get out of my head.
No. Neither
can
I.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It should and only just be a gentle tinkling out of the vagina at all times.
Is anybody else super horny? I mean,
Annie?
I'm wondering about the people out there who were eating their dinner.
How's that? Yeah.
Annie?
I think the thing about childbirth is if you've been through it once, how can you possibly want to do it again?
Right, right.
But I hate to return to my theme previously, but I hope you kept the placenta. It's yours, and they shouldn't have it. And I have a niece.
Annie, what are you talking about?
You're oddly possessive.
I have a niece who took it. She took the placenta home, and she planted a cherry tree on top of it.
It went to the lab. That's all I know. It was sent to the lab.
Some people do eat the placenta.
I know that. But that particular placenta went to a scientific lab where they're still running tests on it.
Or it's being eaten by Gwyneth Paltrow.
Eaten by someone else. That one was covered in urine. Let's talk about that. There was bloody urine on top of it.
Oh,
so,
God.
Yeah.
Danny.
I say waste not, Danny. Want not.
I have two thoughts. And the first one is, I feel like Annie's basement is going to be like Jeffrey Dahmer's. I feel like at some point we're going to go in Annie's basement and find some Laotian boy's parts. I have exactly the same story in terms
really?
Of size babies.
Oh, size.
And it was exactly the same thing. We were told it. So we had twins. She had
Whoa.
Twins. I like to take credit for it. And they were 7'6" and 6'5".
Oh,
and
twins.
And she's a little thing. And then my son, so she's like, and they had to be C-section. So she's like, I really want to do a vagina birth. It's like, yeah,
I think
too.
It's vaginal.
Vaginal. A vagina birth.
Vagina
birth. I
want
to do a vagina birth. Which doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, if I had the option of doing, like, having a baby here, it's like, yeah, I really want to do a urethra birth. That sounds fantastic. But she really wanted to. 36 hours of labor later, and he was 10'5". And what? You can hear me. I'm like, I want to talk to your husband. You can hear me on the tape saying, honey, we had a toddler.
Wow.
Now, there was never any doubt about the sex. Huge cock.
And that's your daughter, right?
And it was my daughter.
Yeah.
It turned out to be a girl.
Anything else, Laura?
Childbirth is no fucking joke, man. It's scary. Yeah. It's life-threatening, and you did it twice, so fucking A, man.
Exactly. All right, you guys. Margot Lightman, let her hear it.
That's it.
Margot Lightman.
It's a miracle, blah, blah, blah. We
All
still
right,
make
guys.
More money.
The final storyteller coming to the stage right now. I don't want it to end.
No, I want this to go on forever.
I want it to go on forever as well,
except
but the final storyteller has to be told, and it's a 3-minute story from the one and only Rena Strober.
Okay.
Here she comes, guys. Rena Strober, yeah. Tell her what to do.
Will.
All right, now that's a spin. We're going to be here sometime. Pets.
Oh.
Pets.
Oh boy.
We've all had pets.
I've been called a lot of pet names, and one of them was dubbed by the New York Post, and they called me Da Songbird on the cover of the Post in 2003, which then became my pet name, and it's because I used to sing at a little restaurant in Spanish Harlem called Rayo's, and it was this tiny little restaurant that had 10 tables, and it's really exclusive, and you can't go because everyone owns the table. Each table. So I would actually go, I was on Broadway at the time, so I had Mondays off, and I would go every Monday as a guest of Sonny Grosso, and he owned the table every Monday night. Sonny broke the French Connection case, and he went on to make the movie, and he was my manager. And so, and every Monday night, without fail, Frankie Pellegrino, the owner, would say, "Oh, Rena's here, sing for us." And there's no stage, no microphone, nothing, but there's a jukebox. So he would push the button on the jukebox, and on would come the other Jew, Barbra Streisand. And so I would always have to sing, you know, "I'll march my band out, I'll beat my drum." And I would, whoa.
Holy shit.
And so I would do this every Monday night. And I sang for Bill Clinton, you know, "Hey, Mr. Clinton, here I am." And I got all sexy for him. And I sang for Billy Joel, and I would sing for Nikki the Vest and Frankie the Nose and Johnny Roast Beef and all those guys. And so it's 2 days before Christmas, 2003, and it's really busy, and Frankie's like, "Rena, get up and sing." And I said, "No, Frankie, it's too busy." And he said, "No, get up and sing. One shot, one gunshot, and bam! I'll march my band, bang!" And I thought, oh, job opening, someone dropped a glass. Bang! And then I hear scream, and I'm under a table, and I realize one of the guns that people were carrying was going off. Oh. And so I'm under the table saying the Shema, and thinking, I'm going to die. And after many hours, I finally got up and walked over bloody sheets, and I find out that two mobsters got into a fight while I was singing. 37-year-old Albert Cercelli didn't like my song, and 74-year-old Louis Lump Lump Barone really liked my song. And so when Albert said, "Shut up!" And he said, "Don't talk to a lady like that." And he said, "Fuck me, fuck you, fuck blah, blah, blah." He got up to leave, and the 74-year-old Louis Lump Lump Barone shot him in the back and killed him with one shot.
Oh my God.
And I like to say I have a voice to die for. So when I sing now, I do like to make sure no one has any weapons on them. And after that, I stopped going to Rayo's because literally they would say, "You heard nothing, you saw nothing." And but that's where the Post gave me my pet name, Rena de Songbird, Bullet Bolognese.
Oh my
God. Wow. Rena Strober, what a pet name. And she did that whole twist on pets, you know what I mean?
Wow.
I like it. Annie, what did you say?
I'm just wondering how you respond to somebody who defended you like that. I mean, do you say, "Oh, thank you for killing that man who disrespected me"?
My mother called.
You know, what did you say?
I didn't visit him in prison.
Huh?
I didn't visit him in prison. He died in prison recently. No, my mother was very happy. But no, I had to go into hiding for a little bit.
You mean you didn't send a thank you note?
I should have, right? I should have.
Lori, your mouth is hanging open.
Well, what is a Shema?
Oh, the Shema. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Echad. It's a Jewish prayer that does... You don't say when you're about to die, but it was like the only thing that came to mind. Okay. I just thought... Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I... Wow, Jew.
Wow.
Okay.
Way to Jew-splain her.
Wow. How did you explain me? It's a prayer. It's just like a little Jewish prayer.
And how long did you keep the secret of the murder? Like, when did they find the body?
The body was there. It was right there.
So you just, they didn't hide it and chop it up and throw it in the river? I mean, I've seen a lot of movies. I know
how
these
things
usually...
Well, their meatballs are really famous. And I don't want to tell you the secret ingredient.
Wow. Lori, I think it's like a Hail Mary.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like all of a sudden you just start going, "Hail Mary, full of grace," that thing. So and then the Shema, what do you say again?
Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Lord is our God and... Blah, 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 blah.
Wow. Okay, Annie.
It's so much faster.
I know. And she spit on the mic. Annie, what do you say?
It was an unbelievable story.
Yeah.
An unbelievable story.
Thanks.
But I still think it was not so courteous of you.
Yeah.
To address the person who killed somebody on your behalf.
I mean,
talk about a fan.
I know. He could have
who
produced something
Who would want a fan like that?
No, I know.
You know?
Danny?
I love this story very much. I'm from New Jersey, and I had friends. We had a neighbor who I had no idea was in the mafia until he was murdered in his house with two fondue forks through his eyes.
Whoa! I might have had dinner with him.
I just loved everything about that story.
What song was she singing when that happened?
She was singing... who were you in Les Mis?
Cosette.
Okay, so she was singing Castle on a Cloud.
Oh, the big Cosette.
Oh, the big Cosette. Oh, you know, so she was singing On My Own.
That's Eponine.
Oh, fuck it.
Song.
I love that Eponine song.
I like
song.
How you keep getting Eponine it wrong. Song. Like, no one else knows what the fuck's going on in Les Mis, and you're like naming all the songs, but they're the wrong ones.
They're the wrong ones. No. Anyway, so she was singing Master of the House. No, I know you weren't singing Master of the House. I do love that. My daughter
if
would be furious.
If you knew the Cosette song, though, I would. Nobody knows the Cosette
no,
song.
No, I do. I do.
Give us a couple of lines.
She comes out and ruins the show. Like, in my life.
Oh, yeah, it's the one about how much he loves it. Yeah.
It's very high.
I just know the other one where it's like, I know, Cosette, I love you very much. But you didn't play her. You played the other one. Yeah, you played the shitty one. Anyway, I have to deduct for that. But it was an amazing story.
It really was.
Yes.
All right, you guys, give her a big round of applause. Rena Strober. Wow. This is going to be a difficult night for you guys. This is a difficult decision because everybody was just so darn good. I mean, not even just the two finalists, but all five people were really on task tonight. It was a great night of storytelling.
We have to decide now?
Yeah, so give everybody a round of applause who's been playing tonight, please. And now you guys have the very difficult decision of choosing one winner of the night who's going to win those fabulous chocolate chip cookies. You have 1 minute to do that. Put 1 minute on the clock. And make your decision, you guys. 1 minute on the clock. And I have to tell you, I don't know if you realize this, but hey, somebody might say, Christine, how did you come up with this whole story smash thing? What's happening? How did you get that wheel? I have always enjoyed spinning wheels, and I knew that you could tell a story in a very short amount of time. So I decided to buy a wheel, but I couldn't afford that wheel. It was $680. So how do I buy that wheel from Riverside Promo Wheels? You know what I did? I sold all my gold jewelry, and I bought that goddamn wheel. So I got that going for me. So I need a game show more than I need jewelry. And then you might say, well, Christine, how'd you get this expensive-looking clock? I sold my breast pump. Thank you very much. All right, you guys, I know this is tough. I know it is. And so tell me, how did you come to your decision?
I could have totally bought that wheel and that clock and not sold a thing or even felt it.
Goddamn this guy,
Hold on. I'm currently... Hold on. By the time I finish the sentence, I will have made the money.
Oh, my God.
To sell...
The clock is ticking.
The clock. Okay. This was so hard. Yeah. They are both...
So good.
Don't you agree, Annie?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah.
Both jaw-dropping stories.
Yeah.
Well, one ended in life and the other ended in death.
Oh, wow. We covered everything.
Oh,
that's
man.
So deep, isn't it? Very, very exciting.
That's very deep.
I have
that's
fucking chills.
That's really profound.
All right.
Profound.
Annie Corzin, you're in the middle. You're our guest judge tonight. Who is the winner of Story Smash?
The winner of the Story Smash is Rena Strober.
Rena Strober, here she comes, guys. A big round of applause. Keep it going for everybody who played tonight.
Hold on. I'm sorry, we're looking at this. It was Moonlight.
Tom Farnan, Matt Dan, Margo Lightman, Rena Strober, our audience member, Wendy Wilkins. Big round of applause right here. Danny Zucker, Annie Corzin. And the talented Lori Kilmartin. My name is Christine Blackburn. Good night.